From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues the message called Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 104, verse 16. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Lebanon's cedars are emblematic of the Christian, in that they owe their planting entirely to the Lord. This is quite true of every child of God. He is not man-planted, nor self-planted, but God-planted. The mysterious hand of the Divine Spirit dropped the living seed into a heart which He had Himself prepared for its reception. Every true heir of heaven owns the great husbandman as his planter. Moreover, the cedars of Lebanon are not dependent upon man for their watering. They stand on the lofty rock, unmoistened by human irrigation, and yet our Heavenly Father supplies them. Thus it is with a Christian who has learned to live by faith. He is independent of man, even in temporal things. For his continued maintenance he looks to the Lord his God and to him alone. The dew of heaven is his portion, and the God of heaven is his fountain. Again, the cedars of Lebanon are not protected by any mortal power. They owe nothing to man for their preservation from stormy wind and tempest. They are God's trees, kept and preserved by him and by him alone. It is precisely the same with the Christian. He is not a hothouse plant sheltered from temptation. He stands in the most exposed position. He has no shelter, no protection, except this, that the broad wings of the eternal God always cover the cedars which he himself has planted. Like cedars, believers are full of sap, having vitality enough to be evergreen, even amid winter snows. Lastly, the flourishing and majestic condition of the cedar is to the praise of God only. The Lord, even the Lord alone, hath been everything unto the cedars. And therefore David very sweetly puts it in one of the Psalms, Praise ye the Lord, fruitful trees, and all cedars. In the believer there is nothing that can magnify man. He is planted, nourished, and protected by the Lord's own hand. And to him let all the glory be ascribed.
Thank you.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, just prior to the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commanded the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Dr. Cairns is reminding believers of God's call to personal holiness of life, a subject which receives all too little emphasis in this day. For the children of Israel standing on the border of Canaan, the call to holiness was in preparation for and in anticipation of the moving and blessing of God. That is still the case. The first thing Dr. Cairns stressed about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. It is the redeemed of the Lord who are called unto holiness of life. Failure to do so results in the forfeiture of God's blessing. Then, as we'll see, this is a command to comprehensive holiness. Believers are to separate from sin in all of its manifestations, both in their personal as well as in their public lives. Now to continue this message, holiness, the expression of faith in God's promises, here is Dr. Cairns.
In Exodus 19:10, the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Sanctify yourselves, wash the garments that have been stained by sin. Sanctify yourselves, take the defilement that you have contracted in the world and get it under the blood. Sanctify yourselves by washing your garments. In Joshua 7, he told Joshua in verse 13, Up, sanctify the people and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take the accursed thing from among you. What does sanctify yourselves mean, therefore? It means not only to wash your garments from visible and known stains and defilements, but it means to search out and to judge the hidden sin. Sanctify yourselves means that you come into this, the very presence of God. You lay bare your heart to the all-seeing eye of your God. You say, Lord, I'm no longer willing merely to pass for a holy man in the sight of others. I'm not satisfied anymore merely to have the outward appearance of cleanness with clean garments as far as people can see. But Lord, I want the inmost depths of my heart to be purged from the accursed thing. This word is a very, very simple word. It is a word that calls us to separate from sin. Stop toying around with sin. Set no wicked thing before your eyes and certainly get that wicked thing from out of the heart. Separate from sin. Now, what does separate mean? Remember when we used to talk to people back in Northern Ireland who were members of churches in the World Council of Churches, talking about Christians now. We'd say to them, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Come out from among them and be separate. And they would say, well, what does that mean? We used to mock them. Now, that's not unbiblical. Elijah did the same. But we mocked them, and we, through mockery, tried to make them see just how foolish and how sinfully foolish their position was. God says, touch not the unclean thing. What does it mean? Throw your arms around it. Embrace it. Cuddle it to your breast. Come out from among them and be separate. What does that mean? Sit down in committee with them. Be members of the same presbytery, the same synod. Join in the same church council. Get together in ecumenical evangelism. Is that what it means? Come off it. There's not a child that has any doubt as to what it means when God says, come out, He doesn't mean go in. When God says, touch not, He doesn't mean embrace. When God says, separate, He doesn't mean integrate. That's absolutely plain. And that's true still. And there are Christians who are still bolstering the system of the great apostasy, unwilling to separate completely from the wickedness of that sin. But there are millions more Christians who have separated from the great apostasy, but they have not separated from their sin on an ongoing basis. When the Lord says, sanctify yourselves, He says, separate. And that great portion of separation in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and into chapter 7, not only deals with separation from heathenism and from apostasy and false doctrine, it means to be separated in your own personal life. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Communion, or what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now listen. Ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, how does Paul sum it all up? Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What is the great fulfillment of the command of God to sanctify yourselves? What is the great pinnacle of separation? It is not to preen ourselves with pride, sitting in a fundamentalist or Bible-believing or Reformed church and fold our arms and say, thank God I'm not in Romanism. Thank God I'm not in apostate Protestantism. Thank God I'm not in the World Council of Churches. By the way, I do thank God I'm not in any of those things. I rejoice I'm not in any of those things. For there's not one of them worthy of the name of Christian. They're enemies of God. But that's not the pinnacle of separation. The pinnacle of separation is certainly be separate from those things, but cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Perfect, complete holiness in the fear of God. Oh, that, my friend, is sanctification that's called for here. And it means not only take a decision to be separate, it means keep yourself separate. This comes down to something very, very simple. Joshua was speaking to people who had sanctified themselves before, but they needed to renew it. There are many people, maybe even here this morning, and you can look back to a time when you were very careful about your walk with God. You were very careful about your times with prayer. You were very careful about the time over the open page of the Word of God. You were careful in your public testimony and in your private life. You separated. But the Bible says in Joshua 6:18, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Keep yourselves from it. I have known people living in absolute misery and defeat, and they could look back and they could tell you where they were 10 years ago, what they experienced 20 years ago, how useful they were, how blessed they were. But today, later on, nowhere with God. Jude says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves there. Separate yourselves unto the Lord and keep yourselves separate. This is an ongoing walk. Acts 15:29 tells you, you're to abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication. That's not a once for all decision that you say, well, I'll abstain from those things today, but they're all right tomorrow. No. Keep on abstaining. John says in 1 John 5:21, keep yourselves from idols. Not enough that you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. You did it once, but you can go back. No. Keep yourselves from idols. You see, separate unto the Lord and stay separate. And it means something else. Sanctify yourselves has the idea of being seen to be holy. Be observed to be holy. Be plainly holy. Don't be ashamed to be holy. There's no secret testimony of holiness here. Now, understand, I am not for a moment doubting, since I've already preached this morning, I would hardly be should be understood as doubting that there is a secret aspect to holiness. No man can see it but God. But there are people who want to lock their testimony for Christ up in their heart. They want to say, well, in my secret life, I'm seeking the Lord. But publicly, well, I don't like to get into trouble. I don't like to ruffle any feathers. I don't like to take a stand. Let us go forth therefore unto Christ without the camp bearing His reproach. That is sanctifying yourselves. Now that's comprehensive holiness, and that's the command. But thank God with the command there's a glorious promise. And this is a promise that has lived with me this week, and indeed much longer than this week, but especially in these past days. This is a verse that has kept reverberating in my mind. It's a promise from God in His Word that has been for me a support, a stay, an encouragement, a director. The Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, these people had already seen great wonders in the wilderness. But this was a new class of wonders the Lord was talking about. What the Lord was talking about here was something that would take their experience of Him to a level it had never been at before. It would let them taste things they had never tasted before. When He says, the Lord will do wonders among you, He was first of all promising the Lord would go before them, and He would give them a new and a nearer sense of His presence than they had ever had before. My friend, that is a wonder I covet for my own life, and it's a wonder I covet for this church's life. A new and a nearer sense of the presence of God. Can we expect it? Sanctify yourselves. The Lord will do this wonder because in Isaiah 66 verse 2 He says, to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I'll give him that new and nearer sense of the divine presence. When the Lord said He would do wonders among Israel, He was promising that He would make every obstacle a means of their progress. Now, it's easy to say that, but let it sink in. He would make every obstacle a means of their progress. For example, the Jordan. The Jordan, as I said last week, at the time of harvest, was in spate. It was overflowing its banks. There were floods. And though the river normally was quite a small one, at this time it was impassable for this people. So what did the Lord do? That was an obstacle. He simply made it a means of their progress. Dried it up, and over they went. Take the walls of Jericho. Enormous walls. An imposing structure. An impregnable city. So what did the Lord do? He collapsed them into the ground. They went forward. Take the case of Joseph. In Genesis 50 verse 20, he said to his brothers, you thought evil against me. That's an understatement. You thought evil against me. They intended to murder him. They hated him with a virulent hatred. You thought evil against me. You sold me into slavery. You pretended I'd been killed by an animal. You tricked my father. You wanted to defraud me of my part of the blessing. You wanted to cut me right out of the family. You thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God made the obstacle a means of His progress. Without what his brothers did, Joseph would never have been in Egypt, and Joseph would never have been ruler of Egypt. He could have said the same thing to Potiphar and to Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife meant to have him put to death when she falsely accused him. But God turned it for good. Take the case of the early church. Every device that was aimed against them, God just turned it around and made it a means of their progress. That's why they were rejoicing in the midst of persecution. They were rejoicing in the midst of opposition. In fact, they were so glad at that time that they said to the Lord, we thank you that we are counted worthy to suffer. That's a very different mindset from anything that we know today. When we suffer, we tend to say, Lord, what's wrong? Why am I being singled out? When they suffered, they said, thank God I have been singled out. Now we have to admit that the mindset is very, very different. But the reason is they had grasped this. And they were living in the joyous experience of it. That God made every barrier, a means of their progress. My friend, that will be the same with us as we sanctify ourselves. God will make the obstacles a way for us to overcome and go forward.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.